So I'm really pleased that Bishop Gary Nelson of Northwest Australia, the Bishop of Northwest Australia, is prepared to talk to us this morning. We tried recording this, we tried doing it live, and it wasn't quite working right. So now we switched over to making a Zoom call. So Gary has been a friend of mine for about 12 years or so. Mm. We first met in Jerusalem.
Yeah, right.
In 2008 at the first GAFCON conference. And this was long before he reached the heady heights of being a bishop.
So and I think he had slightly different coloured hair too.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was younger, and I had dark hair. Yeah, that's right. It's been. I think since I've known you, I've gone much grayer. Actually, I don't know whether that might be connected or not. But
I'm sure it is.
I'm really pleased that Gary's willing to talk to us today. We've got a bit of a global focus going on, just to take us out of ourselves and to help us think a little bit about what God is doing in the wider world. So, Gary, it's really we're really grateful that you're willing to talk to us. Just tell us a little bit about your diocese. It's quite a small diocese, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very small. It's about 2 million square kilometres. The furthest church that is in the diocese takes me probably about 2 weeks to get there. It's a 6,000 kilometer return trip. So in the top part of our diocese, you could actually fit the UK in three times. And that's just the top part.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And so, okay, I mean, when I hear those figures, every time I hear them, they're just staggering. Tell us, the world is in lockdown. Northwest Australia is slightly different from many parts of the world because, you know, people are social distancing is a function of life there anyway, in some ways, isn't it? But how is COVID-19, how's that affecting Australia in general and Northwest Australia in particular?
Well, I think the government has been, I think, fairly good in terms of the way it's approached the whole issue. I think it's been sensible. I guess everybody thinks, well, governments should have moved quicker or whatever, but our rate of infections and certainly the number of people who have lost their lives is still relatively low. In Western Australia, we're one of the first states to actually close our borders. And because it's such a big state, because it's basically a third of Australia, internally borders have been closed too. Not quite as restrictive as it was, but in the diocese, we've probably got at least three, maybe four regions. So there's actually four barrier points just within the diocese. And, of course, there's a barrier point going south. So, without a legitimate reason, you can't get to Perth, the capital. So I think the government moved fairly quickly here in WA. We haven't had a lot of cases. Where we are in the Midwest, as it's called, lots of space, and so social distancing and things like that's been pretty easy to do. And people around town have responded really well. And, you know, there's still limited things open, but people have got to line up in the normal way. But there's still a number of places offering takeaway coffee, so that's always a good thing. But it is hard sort of not meeting physically together with people, and which is, of course, one of the joys of Christian life. But overall, I think we're doing pretty well, and it hasn't been a strain. I guess the biggest strain is probably Christine having me home more often.
I think we're all in that that situation. Gary, you're the bishop. I love your bishoply shirt that you're wearing. You're the bishop, you're the leader of the diocese, and obviously with that comes great responsibility. I know you and I had a conversation about communion and how that's working or not working, and we've taken a decision here. We're not going to have communion online. We're going to wait until we're going to long for Jesus all the more, and we're going to long for that day. Is that something that you have kind of been thinking about? I mean, how have you responded to that?
Yes, I when this first came up, I started thinking, and I guess my thinking has been in a couple of ways. One is that I'm not sure that in a virtual environment, we can really fulfil conditions that I think are there in 1 Corinthians. And so that sort of made me very hesitant to begin with. I just couldn't see how you could properly discern the body as it talks about in 1 Corinthians. As well as that, I guess I'm fearful that people may end up falling into perhaps a medieval trap of just thinking it's sufficient to watch the sacrament. So I guess I've got sort of reasons at both ends of the spectrum why I've said to all ministers I don't wish any communion to take place. Mm. I may be one of the very few bishops in all of Australia, but but a number of our ministers have all that I've chatted with individually, I think have all been thinking about that. One in particular, just he'd been reflecting on Lamentations, and he just felt that we really should be, in a sense, lamenting the fact that we can't meet together. And because the Lord's Supper is a significant meeting, both in terms of thinking about a relationship with God through Christ and with one another, that it is a good reason not to have it so that we can look forward to the time when we are together again.
Mm, that's really powerful and helpful. We're thinking about the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Good Shepherd, this morning. And again, I'm just really conscious of he is with us and he cares for us. And we can hold on to that. And as you say, we lament the loss and we long for that day when we can meet together and gather around the table again and take communion. Yeah. That's really helpful. I mean, I'm glad I've got a bishop or two to... to get counsel on stuff like this. Just tell us then, Gary, how can we be praying for you and for the people that you serve in Northwest Australia? What can we do in prayer to be of help?
Yes, I originally thought with all the travelling I wouldn't be doing that I'd have a lot more time to catch up on the things that I've had to place on the back burner because of just the travelling, with not only the huge differences within the diocese, but I have lots of responsibilities beyond the diocese as well. And one of which was to come and visit you in October because I was going to be at an international conference for Mission of Seafarers in England. And that's been cancelled now, so perhaps next year. I think all of this has involved thinking new things and working through new issues. I mean, just the very fact of what we were talking about in terms of the Lord's Supper. Just thinking about that in a way which, I haven't really paused to think about before. So wisdom for me in all those extra things that now come upon us. Like, for example, one minister sent me a message saying, I've had a request for baptism, what do I do? Like there's a whole range of issues to be thinking about how you do things, as well as trying to encourage all the fellas in their pastoral ministries and trying to give guidance for that. And on top of that has been the live streaming project, which I've done, worked on that, and we live stream at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning because we wanted to keep connected through to some of the remote places, some of the places in small towns where we can't provide a minister, so that the small number of Christians there can feel that they're part of what we're doing. So I guess just wisdom to be able to continue those sort of things and to know how to respond to things like finances. I mean, that's a difficult issue in terms of our environment because for us being a missionary diocese, we rely on a lot of support from outside the diocese to keep going. And so that's part of trying to work out how to go forward at the moment and how to keep things going. And it's another reason why I've wanted to keep up, this project of live streaming so that supporters can still see that we're sort of alive and active in the Northwest as well, so that they can keep in touch with us. So I guess all of those things to know how to respond, how to think godly in terms of the situation, how to keep examining everything, do say and think in the light of what God's word's saying. But the other concern really is to keep gospeling. It's one of my great passions is to keep sharing the gospel with people and knowing how to do that in this environment. The other day I was waiting to get a haircut and there was this guy just came and started talking, and just those little times like that to try and make the most of it for the gospel. So, yeah, I think they're the key things.
That's brilliant. And you can still go and get a haircut. I mean, we're having to rely on, as you can see, self-clipping. So that's amazing that you're still able to do that. But that's so important. And I wonder, we will pray for you. We're going to end this conversation and we'll say a prayer for you. But I wonder if we could end our conversation, if maybe you could pray for us.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching the service last week because I'm trying to keep in touch with my dear friends beyond the shores and see what they're up to. And I was talking to a friend in England where he just was doing his first COVID-19 funeral. This different world that we're wandering around in. So, but I'd be pleased to pray for you. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your loving kindness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him we have forgiveness, that our slate is wiped clean, that in him we have life eternal, a hope that nothing can attack or take away from us. And we especially pray that in the midst of the situation of the pandemic across the world, that we may rely on that hope and stand firm, but most of all, to be able to share it with others. Father, I thank you for David and Ali and all the congregation members of St. Thomas. Thank you for their commitment to you, their love for you. Thank you for the way in which people are trying to think creatively of reaching out beyond themselves, reaching out whether with aged people or in other situations. Father, I pray that you'll bless and keep them, sustain them, help them to keep their spirits up, knowing that you are with them, that you are sovereign, and that all we do is under your watchful eye. And so we thank and praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Koba, for your counsel and your prayers. And it's just lovely to be able to speak to you like this. Thank you so much.